Grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you here this day from our triune God. Amen. Perhaps those of you who are at least my age or older probably remember back in middle school or high school learning how to use a typewriter, okay? And we used to take a class, actually, you know, and the idea was we were expected to type a certain number of words per minute, and so we would get pretty quick on those after having practiced for a while. But those of us who have used a typewriter had to eventually switch over to this new thing called a personal computer. And you remember making that switch. Do you remember also that the sound and the feel of the computer keys seemed rather strange to us, going from pushing down those manual keys to those plastic keys on the keyboard? Pushing down on those plastic keys gave us, I don't think, that satisfying clack that we would oftentimes hear with a typewriter, or even the same physical sensation of pushing down, up and down on a typewriter key. And still, even the computer keyboard, when we made that transition, there was still at least a sound, a slight sound that you would hear as you hit the keys, and you could feel movement taking place and happening below your finger. So it was a transition, but it was one that we could handle. Okay, but then they went out and they invented these things called tablets and smartphones. And you know that the keyboards that are on tablets and smartphones are nothing more than just a smooth sheet of glass, right? And so by themselves, these keys, if you can even call them keys, don't give our fingers any tactile response at all. People started complaining about that, in my age group, that is, the non-millennials that are here today. Phone designers began to pick up on that a little bit, and they realized that for those of us who learned how to type maybe using a typewriter, that we still liked the sensation of something when we touched those screen buttons or icons, a way of reassuring us that we actually had done something when we touched those things. And so designers of these tablets and phones begun to add a little feature. And the feature that they added was called haptic feedback. So, for those of you who are my age, you can actually go into the settings on your tablet or your smartphone and find a way that you can set now the buttons to give you a slight vibration in your fingertips when you touch those things, or a little click sound that assures you that in fact you have done what it was that you had hoped you did. It's those tiny little vibrations and that tiny little sound that is really haptics at work. So without it, we would just have to then trust that when we touch the screen where a specific icon or key is displayed, that we have then initiated some kind of an action. Now, it's with this haptics in mind that I want us to think for a moment here about the gospel reading that we had for today, where Jesus now tells his disciples, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." And that phrase, "everyone will know," suggests that the love which Jesus is talking about here is a kind of haptic feedback. It is something substantial that lets not only the recipients of a loving action know what is happening here, but also those who are witnessing it understand and recognize that this person is a follower of Jesus. So therefore, this love is meant to be a kind of haptic feedback. It's meant to be for the disciples themselves after Jesus is no longer going to be physically present with them. And before this, when Jesus talked about love, what he was often referring to was a love your neighbor kind of love. And this love extended outward then from those circle of believers to whom ever was maybe in need at that time. And we think about the parable of the Good Samaritan as an example, perhaps, of this. However, Jesus is now commanding the disciples to love one another. And in other words, what he is telling them is that when they act in a loving way towards each other, those who are a part of that same faith community, that they are reflecting as well his love for them. And remember that earlier in that same evening when Jesus launched into this discourse, he had before that stooped down and had washed the disciples' feet to graphically illustrate to them that loving one another also means that they should be serving one another. So in effect, Jesus was creating here a new kind of grouping, a later group that is known as the church, whose primary identifying characteristics would be that they love each other, and through that expression of love, they show that in serving each other as well. Now, beyond that, this group could be just about as widely diverse as possible. They could be diverse in ethnicity and in gender and in language and in nationality and in age and in political persuasion and most of the other things that we oftentimes label as a way of separating people today. But the disciples' love for one another was the essential identifying mark that made them followers of Jesus. And as John explains it here elsewhere, in one of his other writings, those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. And Jesus himself even says, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." So in other words, love says a lot about a community like the church. It marks those who express such love as being followers of Jesus, and it says that these followers, in fact, know God. Love is the mark. Love is that haptic feedback. So how do we show, then, love in the church today? How does this play out with those of us who are disciples of Jesus? Is the presence of Jesus something that is recognizable in the way in which we express our love for one another within our own faith community? Well, I think as many of us know, unfortunately, there are certainly plenty of stories about church life that illustrate more often the exact opposite, starting perhaps maybe with some of those silly accounts that we sometimes hear about church members who behave badly when visitors show up at worship on Sunday and happen to be sitting in their spot or in their pew. You know, another story that I'm reminded of is when the council president told me about an aging adult Sunday school class that was in the church that had continued to now shrink in size. And so they were asked to move to one of the other smaller classrooms in the educational wing of the church. And that was because a growing young adult class needed more space, and it was becoming more of a priority and an urgency for them. However, the older group refused to budge from their present location, stating that this was their room. And also, I can at least share one story about a congregation where I served as an interim pastor, where the women's organization of that church had ended up putting locks on all of the kitchen cabinets. And they did that so that other groups in the church wouldn't be able to use the kitchen, and by using it, mess it up, of course. And not everything, not even, sorry, and of course, I've not even begun to talk about some of those eternal, internal fights that take place and happen within congregations, or the domineering and toxic members that we sometimes encounter, or the malicious gossip and the branding of some of our own fellow members of the body of Christ as not being really Christian because perhaps they have a slightly different doctrinal or social action stance than we have. So we don't always find marks of love in our churches. There may not be any haptic feedback that could be found there. Well, actually, I guess you could say that there is sort of haptic feedback that maybe is at work here. Take, for example, have you ever tried to tap in your passcode on your tablet or your smartphone and then accidentally tapped in the wrong numbers? What happens? You know, the keypad or the screen usually buzzes at you and maybe jiggles a little bit. It's telling you, wrong code, try again. Well, that's kind of what it feels like, I think, when the church behaves in some of the ways that I just described. Maybe there should be some sort of a haptic buzz or a vibration that alerts us when we make these kind of have these kind of actions on, and behaviors in our church. This is not just my church. It is the church of Jesus Christ. I also, however, don't want to discount all of the good work that is taking place and happening in the church already. So let's remember that there are many congregations I have run across that really do a great job of managing to put up with or work around or even calm disruptive fellow members of the church. Doing things that I would think other organizations and businesses wouldn't even tolerate. And this shows that we are learning something about loving one another, even if loving some of our fellow members are harder to love than others. And let's also not forget that many of our children here in our churches get their real first understanding that they might actually have something to offer the rest of the world when they get praised for something that they have done here in their congregation, such as, say, participating in the annual Christmas program or being invited to play a musical instrument in worship. Some of our teenagers hear their first calling to be a disciple of Jesus through an example of a youth leader or during a mission trip or while attending church camp. Some people agree to participate in a mission project or maybe in some other kind of community effort because of a fellow church member that came up and asked them to do it. Offering funeral luncheons or visiting the homebound. Gifts of financial support to members with sudden needs. Praying for one another during times of illness and grief and concern. Strong friendships that develop between members who would have not even met one another had it not been that they both belong to the same church. All of these things and more is what we might call the haptic feedback of love. So there are lots of things I think that congregations are getting right. Often followers of Jesus really do express their love for one another through service and through support. And as Jesus reminds us, this is a new commandment, which indicates to us that it's not an option for us as Christians. But he could have just as easily have called this a haptic kind of feedback that tells us that we've actually done something to show the presence of Christ in our lives and our involvement with being one of his disciples. In practice, of course, while we may be able to serve each other without hesitation, we aren't likely to be able to have the same level of fellowship with each and every person who belongs to our church. In fact, years ago, the great Quaker writer Thomas Kelly said that no single person can hold all dedicated souls within his or her compass in steadfast fellowship or with equal vividness. Kelly went on to acknowledge that there are within our churches degrees of fellowship, and although all might be within the bonds of love, some are nearer to certain individuals in the congregation than others. Some of those who are not maybe so near to us might be nearer to others. However, what this does then is make these various groupings in the church tend to overlap with each other. The total effect in a living church, Kelly goes on to say, is the sufficient interaction of the bonds to form a supporting, caring network of love for the whole of humankind. And then he goes on to say, where the fellowship is lacking, the church is lacking, and the kingdom of God has not yet come. Therefore, our love that we have for one another is something that tells those who are outside of the church that God's love for them is also there and is expressed to them as something that is real. But really, that's another sermon. But just for this morning, let's say that it's enough just for us to remind ourselves that Jesus commands us to love one another. And let's be glad for the ways in which we already do that and for the kind of results that follow when we do that. And let's also take up the places where we fail to be as loving to one another as we ought. And let's figure out how we can do this even better. Amen.